It's exactly a year ago since I was last doing a sermon here at chapel, and today is known as Low Sunday. So I did say to Paul when he asked me to do this one, that's, you know. Anyway, he said somebody's got to do it. It's called Low Sunday because it's the Sunday that follows the Easter celebrations, and of course all of the obvious energy and excitement of Easter Sunday. And it's obviously quite hard in a way to follow that, but I would suggest that we have much to be celebrating and happy about today. We may have things lying on our heart and we may have difficulties, but we can come freely here to worship, which is so much more than lots of other people in lots of other countries. And it's, you know, we can share in our troubles, we can talk to somebody in this space. So we have lots to celebrate. So, less is more I'm working on, not the game more or less is more. So, curiosity then. I think this is probably going to be a fairly short sermon, but I hope with a big message. I want to get across the importance of curiosity in our faith. I'm hoping that I'm going to share a couple of examples of curiosity in Scripture. Relate it back actually to when I was here a year ago and talking about doubting Thomas and how Thomas's doubt was actually a significant because it was about his curiosity. And then I want to wrap it up with hopefully a purposeful message for us all. So, by way of introduction to today's theme then. So, I wanted to focus the sermon on the importance of learning, of being curious, and why that matters in our journey of faith. And it was triggered by a Radio 4 Thought for the Day message back in February that, I don't know, it kind of laid it on my heart and it got me interested, and so I'll share it with you in a bit. And I thought that's, I think, what I need to speak about today. So first, though, curiosity then. It's not a formal gift of God, but I think that we could count it as a gift from God because it's the spark that ignites us to want to know more, to learn and to grow. And when we're curious, something happens about us opening ourselves up to new things, to new experiences, to somebody else's view, somebody else's kind of opinion, different perspectives. Jesus himself encouraged curiosity and questioning, and Alistair's just read it out, but I'll do it again because I think this particular piece of scripture is one that I sort of often find myself wanting to use when somebody asks me a question about faith or if I feel somebody is seeking. So Matthew 7 verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. I think it's really comforting just and really simple. It's basically an invitation, ask, seek, knock. It's a call for us to be curious and to find out more. When we speak about curiosity and the positivity of it, I think I probably ought to put in a health warning here though. Curiosity can be a bit dangerous. There's a reason for the saying, curiosity killed the cat. Misguided or without wisdom and careful consideration, curiosity can get you into trouble. It could be a bit risky. It could lead you down the wrong path. And Eve, of course, got that wrong in the Garden of Eden. When tempted to, were told by God not to eat the apple from the tree, she was tempted. And she did. And that curiosity led her and Adam to disobey God. And that one act of disobedience changed the course of the lives of humanity. So while curiosity can be good, it does need to be guided by wisdom and an understanding of what is right and wrong. I'm just going to share a slightly lighter reference to curiosity here. When I strayed from the path. Hard to imagine, I know, you can't imagine that. My curiosity nearly got Paul and I into a bit of a sticky situation. We were in London, happily wandering around some beautiful streets, gorgeous architecture in a particularly kind of expensive area of London. Beautiful period properties. And there was a large open gate into a very tempting courtyard garden space, and I wanted to go and peep at it. There weren't any guards at the gate. It wasn't sentries. It wasn't the palace. I know I can't go there. But the gates were open. Well, it would be true to say that Paul would have been more reluctant and probably trying to pull me back a bit, but I can be quite convincing. So I was already off and already sort of stepped through that entranceway. Anyway, no sooner as we did enter, the gates closed behind us, and they were very big, black, shouty, 12-foot high iron gates, and they didn't open. And there wasn't a button release, and we were in there. Anyway, I'm going to keep you curious, and I'll tell you what happened later. Sorry, what did you say?
Next year.
Next year. Yeah, you can wait till next year. Book that slot, Paul. So, referring back, though, to the thought for the day on Radio 4. So, I was driving to work in February, as I said, and I was listening to a man called Daniel Greenberg, Orthodox Jew, lawyer, and currently the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards. I don't know if you're curious or thinking this is going to be very boring now, because it's a very boring title, isn't it? And maybe not the most exciting job. But there was something in what he said, actually, that really landed with me and got me curious. He said, Saturday night, after Sabbath, he had returned to the table with family and friends to celebrate Asiyam in completing studies of the Talmudic tractate. Have I lost you? Okay. I thought that too. But stick with me for a moment. So I didn't know what it means either. It sounded like something from Lord of the Rings, and I've never watched Lord of the Rings. But anyway, I went and did a bit of research afterwards just so that I could tell you what it meant. It's not this bit, which is important, but I can't say it without obviously telling you what it means. So Asiyam is completing a unit of study, and the Talmudic tractate is about the laws of the Sabbath. So apologies for the pronunciation if that wasn't correct. But this is the point. So he said that he'd been studying it weekly for 30 years, and he was delighted to say that after those 30 years, he knows less about Jewish legal methodology than when he started. 30 years of studying the same text, and yet he still didn't know all of the answers. He then said, and this is the bit that really resonated with me, well, no, of course we don't yet know all of the answers, because we don't yet know all of the questions. And how true is that? Because a question leads to another question, doesn't it? And somebody else's perspective will send you down a different route. So that was the bit that landed with me and felt that I wanted to sort of convey this with you today. So essentially, he was saying that it's almost a never-ending journey of learning. And sort of thinking about that and how to convey that, I guess, you know, every new student, I bet a teacher would say that I've taught that subject following the curriculum for 10 years, and yet it never surprises me that a student will ask a question that I've never thought of before, or they ask it in a different way, which means you describe it differently, because everybody has a different understanding, don't they? A different kind of curiosity, different perspective, different experience. And each new employee is the same. I know I always say to my staff, or when I get a new staff member join the directorate that I look after, that please don't come here as a new person and think that you won't see something that we haven't. You must tell us, you know, you must point it out, because they will have a different perspective. And I guess the same here at Chapel. You know, a new visitor to church asking different questions of you, asking different questions about the way we worship or a different interpretation of the Bible, thereby increasing your very own knowledge, because you think, well, I've not even thought of it like that, actually, Wendy. We'll answer it that way then, and let's have a look at it and study it then together. And I'm sure church leaders, I'm sure David must be, you know, well, and any of you, constantly sort of ask different questions, but why does that happen? Or, but what does it say in the Bible about that? Constantly learning, questions. But what can we be sure of then? What we can be sure of is that when we need an answer, God will give it to us. Can't be sure when, because it will be in his time, but in the meantime, in our time, it's the questions that matter. So just back to the thought for the day example for a moment then. So Daniel Greenberg quoted, "In 1979, Benjamin Franklin, an ambassador, an author, inventor, and also one of the founding fathers of the United States of America, said, 'Nothing can be said to be certain in life except death and taxes.' It will be a phrase a lot of you will recognise and be familiar with. Words quoted frequently because they speak, this is him speaking, quote, profound truth and certainty. Daniel Greenberg also pointed out that with certainty, though, brings danger. He said that certainty is a feeling that I know all the answers, and with that brings arrogance, a feeling that I know what's right for others better than they know what's right for themselves, and that I have the right to impose my certainty on others. However, the more we question, the more questions we see, and the more we see that there is still so much we don't know. And that doubt, that uncertainty, gives us humility because we don't yet know it all. And that in turn leads to compassion in our behaviour and a respect for others because we don't yet know it all. We don't even know what we don't know, do we? So stay curious and be inquisitive. Once you know what's in the Christmas wrapping paper, you're less excited. Is that true, Megan? You're no longer curious if you've had a peep because you'll know what's in it. Once you know how to cook, do you stop trying new recipes? Earlier I shared in the children's example the Zacchaeus story. But God has used his people's curiosity to call them to action. And we see this when Moses, of course, was tending the sheep. And a strange sight caught his attention and he went to get a better look. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush and revealed his plan for Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Life's challenges and experiences bring us new questions, new insights, new ideas. And reading the Bible, our reference book, your questions will be different. You will look at it because you're coming from a different perspective. There'll be something different that's happened in your life that will trigger you to look at it and understand and see it from your perspective. But there is a warning. When you know, or at least think that you know everything, what next? I'm just going to quickly have a drink a moment. Just linking back to Low Sunday last year, as I said, I spoke about doubting Thomas and focused on some of the positives of Thomas's doubt. So a quick reminder, Thomas was one of Jesus's disciples, known for his scepticism regarding Jesus's resurrection. So in John 20, verse 25, he states, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Jesus responds to Thomas and his question by inviting him to see and to touch. And that led to Thomas's profound declaration of faith, "My Lord and my God." So asking questions is not a sign of doubt, I would suggest, but a sign of vibrant and active faith. The disciples often asked Jesus questions, wanting to understand his teachings and the mysteries of God's kingdom. We shouldn't be afraid to ask questions about our faith, our purpose, and our relationship with God, because it's through those questions that we will deepen our understanding and we'll strengthen our connection to him. That's what he wants us to do, isn't it? Proverbs 1:5 reminds us, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Learning is not just about Google searches, AI, confirmed to the classroom or the meeting room or pages of a book. It's about that lifelong journey that shapes us and deepens our faith. As we grow in knowledge, we grow in our ability to understand God's will for our lives. Each question that we ask and each lesson that we learn will bring us closer to the truth and closer to our God. In conclusion then, let's be curious. Let's enjoy and celebrate not knowing. Referring to the reading references, be curious in seeking God's wisdom so you are wisely curious. Be curious about God's creation. Be curious in understanding scripture, in seeking truth, in prayer, in discerning God's will, in faith, and in helping others. Remember, if you know what's behind the paper, the wrapper, the unwrapping loses its appeal. There's an arrogance in thinking you know it all. So keep learning, ask questions, and be confident that God will and does welcome our inquiries and our curious minds. In wrapping up his thought for the day, Daniel Greenberg said, "So as we reflect when we meet next Saturday to study again, we will share with quiet pride how little we have understood and how much we still have to learn." I'm pausing for dramatic effect because I'm going to tell you what happened about the London trip. So thankfully, one of the residents of the flats left the complex, hadn't particularly noticed that we weren't supposed to be there, and so we were able to swiftly follow them out. But lesson learned. Next time, wedge the gate open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of curiosity and the desire to learn. Help us to seek knowledge with open hearts and minds and to ask questions that lead us closer to you. Grant us curiosity to explore the things we do not know, the things we don't understand, the things we haven't seen, the courage to question the things that we do, and the wisdom to never stop learning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.